Trade has become a potent political issue this election season, with the pending Trans-Pacific Partnership a flashpoint in the debate. The controversy has made for some strange political bedfellows, with candidates and parties defying traditional views. But how does trade really affect companies and workers? In this special report from the Ohio Valley Resource, reporter Becca Schimmel visited two manufacturing companies in the Bowling Green, Kentucky area. They're just 30 miles from each other, but when it comes to trade, they're worlds apart.
Technicians at Spantec run conveyor belts to the breaking point as they test products at the Glasgow, Kentucky facility. Spantec's belts will go to customers in Canada, Mexico, Holland, China, and Japan. Trade accounts for about 20% of their business, and company founder and CEO Bud Lane hopes it could soon be even more with the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
I've traded in Asia for 20 years, and I think it's something that we need to be part of. It's a huge growth area, and America needs to be part of it as far as we can.
Lane says trade deals lower the expense and challenges associated with exporting American-made goods, and that has a big effect on the region. In Kentucky, more than 195,000 jobs are supported by trade with the 11 countries that would be in the TPP. In Ohio, it's more than 500,000 jobs, and in West Virginia, more than 70,000. But Lane says the average worker doesn't see those far-reaching effects.
I think the average voter sees, like, to the end of his car hood, you know. I mean, he sees what his immediate life is like. And in the past 15 years, that's been tough for him.
Lane says job losses in the region aren't due to trade, but rather due to change, new technology, and automation in the workplace. A section of Lane's facility is dedicated to training and retraining workers. He says it's the responsibility of the individual to adjust to changing times.
Common labor is vanishing, okay? Common labor is being automated. There are plenty of jobs if you're willing to move upscale and re-educate yourself.
Proponents like Lane say trade is a net job creator. Lowering trade barriers encourages industries and countries to specialize in what they do best. That filters down to the consumer in the form of cheaper goods. Western Kentucky University economist Brian Strauss says that while there are losers in any trade deal, the benefits far outweigh the drawbacks.
We do need to keep our eye on the larger picture here, which is that lowering trade barriers around the world since World War II has been the single largest source of worldwide economic growth. We don't want to go back to Great Depression times when everyone was jacking up trade barriers.
The U.S. Chamber of Commerce predicts that the TPP would create 700,000 new jobs in the U.S. More than 33,000 of those jobs would be in Kentucky, Ohio, and West Virginia. Strauss says if the U.S. doesn't move forward with trade deals, other countries could put large taxes on imports and exports. He says it's especially important for the region's automotive industry to have as many free trade agreements as possible.
That way, if a car company is going to decide to set up a new production plant somewhere, they are only going to choose to do that in a country that has free trade agreements so they can export their cars as cheaply as possible to other countries.
Strauss says if the U.S. misses out on the opportunity to influence the rules for trade with the TPP nations, the U.S. economy will feel the backlash.
Asia is such a growing, not just population, but economy, that it would be a real shame for the U.S. to miss out on this opportunity to expand our ability to export our goods to such a big area.
Strauss acknowledges that trade deals aren't perfect and labor and environmental regulations are challenging, but he argues that being in the talks is better than opting out. As the saying goes, if you're not at the table, you might end up on the menu. Just a 45-minute drive away from Spantec's building, I found another business with a very different view on trade. Here at Trace Diecast in Bowling Green, I saw workers operate robotic arms that spray aluminum casts for auto parts. The parts made here will go into the transmissions and engines of vehicles assembled at Ford and GM factories. Trace employs 550 people, but these robots do the work three people used to do. Trace President Chris Guthrie says past trade agreements are part of the reason his company has had to find ways to do more with less labor.
The trade is very important to us because, you know, it's always a threat to us. You know, we compete globally. What we find is when there's a trade pact passed, it becomes much more difficult for us to operate, and we have to learn to compete against low-cost, low-wage countries.
Guthrie says manufacturing in Kentucky is cheaper than in many other parts of the country because energy costs are so low. But each trade agreement seems to squeeze his company a bit more. He says most trade deals look after big global interests and not mid-size and small companies like his.
So we gotta make sure we stay competitive and we're looking after the best interest and we're not waiting around for the government to either promote us or protect us. Because, that's not what trade agreements are really for bigger companies.
Since the North American Free Trade Agreement passed, more than 66,000 Kentucky workers qualified for a government assistance program for people displaced by trade. In Ohio, more than 145,000 people qualified, and in West Virginia, more than 16,000. Guthrie thinks voters are a lot smarter than politicians and industry leaders give them credit for. He says they understand that after NAFTA was passed, prices went down for some products, but their friends and families lost jobs.
And they understand, hey, if, say, after NAFTA, that a washing machine might be cheaper or, clothes might be cheaper for them to purchase. But they also, they see what's happened to communities throughout the Midwest that have lost companies that have moved to Mexico.
Guthrie worries that the next trade agreement could force him to compete with companies that don't have to comply with the same environmental regulations his does. If smaller operations such as his aren't protected, he'll have no choice but to consider moving. In the past 15 years, about 60,000 manufacturing facilities have been shut down in the United States. United Steelworkers representative Donnie Blatt says there has to be more enforcement of fair trade policies.
The United States workers aren't afraid of trade. We just need to have an avenue that allows us to be able to have that level playing field.
Kentucky Center for Economic Policy economist Jason Bailey agrees. He says the debate is not as simple as being for or against trade. It's the specifics of the trade agreement that count. Bailey says deals like the TPP put more emphasis on protecting things like copyright and patent law than they do on protecting average workers.
There are specific people who lose when you have these sort of agreements, and it's most commonly, everyday workers.
Back at Trace Diecast, Guthrie says that's what's been missing from trade deals, an effective way to deal with those who get hurt.
On a macro level, it's better for the economy, but there are losers and people in government. You have to be honest about that. There's a lot of losers. And what do you do with the losers? Because, again, when people have lost their jobs.
Displaced workers find it's difficult to qualify for assistance programs, and even when they do qualify, studies show worker retraining programs are largely ineffective. These two companies in the same community tell us a lot about the polarized politics of trade. Yes, trade deals are good for the overall economy, as Spantec's Bud Lane points out, but Chris Guthrie at Trace Diecast is also correct when he says those agreements harm some people and places. And the evidence shows that the country does a poor job helping those who get hurt. As trade creates winners and losers, public resentment and division have become part of the deal. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Becca Schimmel in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Ohio Valley Resource is a public media partnership covering the region's economic transition and is made possible with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and WEKU.